something about it you would never have even known. You didn't feel it. It was just a speed bump on the way to a destination. But there are other moments in our lives that feel much more like the Haitian earthquake. And I know you've experienced these in your life, and you've had similar outcomes as to what the Haitian people have experienced. Death, destruction, rocking the very foundation of your life, the very foundation of everything that you knew to be true and everything you knew that you wanted to be true, gone. And you're left with this rubble. You're left to make sense of everything, all the pieces that are left behind. See, and I know that you would agree with me that this has also been your experience, and that some moments just seem to stick out in our lives, and some moments seem to change everything about who we are, and some moments alter the very trajectory of our lives. And that's the purpose of this series, Defining Moments, to look at those moments that change everything, to figure out how to deal with what the Bible refers to as kairos moments. Kairos moments. And there are two different Greek words. There's chronos and kairos. And chronos has this idea of like linear time, that it's ongoing. It's from point A to point B, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. It's going, it's moving in one direction. It's constant, it doesn't stop. It's just time as we know it. But the kairos moments, it's these moments that kind of seem to stop. These moments that define us, these moments where we know that God's trying to tell us something. We don't really understand it. We're not really even sure why that yellow flower stood out to us. We're not really sure why that comment from that person is meaning so much. We're not really sure why or what or how to deal with this stuff. Right, so we have these two different moments, and here's the reality, and I told you we're gonna have a groups plug. This is it, because what I wanna do in our groups is I want us to begin to pay attention to these moments in our lives. There's a well-known pastor that I listen to and that I follow, and he says that at any given time, God is doing 10,000 things in our lives, and we're maybe aware of two. What if we were aware of more? And what if we had a system or a process to be able to process those moments within a group of people to be able to say, hey, help me figure this out. I'm not really sure why this stuck out to me. I'm not really sure how this makes sense in my life, but I need some insight. And so that's what our groups are going to be, that's what our groups are going to revolve around. It's sitting down and going through what's called a kairos circle. And we're going to figure that out together. And so if you're interested in figuring this out, let me encourage you to join a group. Write it on your connection card and turn it into the connecting point on your way out. Just write in anything you want to know. Write, I want to be a part of a group. And then let's together figure out these moments. Anyways, back to the message. In life-changing moments, we often respond with fear or astonishment. Let's look to the scriptures again. As we see, we have earthquakes. There's a violent earthquake in verse 2. And then what's the response of those who felt it? The guards trembled with fear, right? And I'm assuming the women were afraid, because here in verse 5, the angel came down and says to the women, do not be afraid. And then in verse 10, again, Jesus says to the women, do not be afraid. But it seems right, doesn't it? Because I've had earthquake moments in my life that has paralyzed me with fear, and I've actually responded like the guards, not even the women. The women are much more brave in the scriptures than I am in real life. I'm paralyzed with fear quite often. And the earthquakes in my life that show up and shatter the very foundation that I know how to live my life upon, I'm always fearful of what the future holds as a result of that. But here we have an angel that comes, and we have Jesus that's talking to the women and saying, don't be afraid. But my question is, why wouldn't you be afraid in a moment like that? See, the term translated here, afraid, is a Greek word that means alarmed or amazed, or to be amazed or astonished. And so I want to ask you, like, what would cause you to not be amazed or astonished or alarmed or afraid at a time like an earthquake? One word, expectancy. Expectancy. See, the defining word that impacts our world in an earthquake, a physical earthquake, is the word magnitude. And the defining word that impacts our world, our life, in regards to our faith is expectancy. See, is it possible that God wants you and me to expect him to act here on earth on our behalf and to do earth-shattering things? Do we expect that? Is it possible that we're amazed and we're afraid because we don't actually expect God to do anything? I mean, thank you, Jesus, for coming 2,000 years ago and dying on the cross for me, but I don't actually expect you to be involved in my life and actually work on my behalf here and now. And so when you do, it kind of freaks me out. I'm not exactly sure what to do with it. I don't know how to respond. And quite literally, it paralyzes me with fear because now I don't know what to do. The trajectory of my life was going this way, and now you've just altered it this way, and you're really screwing things up for me, God, because I knew where I was going. And now I'm moving into the unknown. See, I think we as a group of people, we're not expecting, we don't expect God to actually do the things he says he's going to do in his scriptures. See, and I think that no matter why you came here this morning, whether you got one of our postcards in the mail, or you've come to watch someone get baptized, or you came because it's just what you do on Easter. No matter your reasoning for coming, I guarantee you that deep within your soul, there is a hope that God will do something, anything. Please just act. And I don't know what that is. Maybe you need something fixed that's broken in your life. Maybe you need the Lord to bring about healing. Maybe you need a relationship restored. Whatever it is, however it gets done, there's oftentimes you're just pleading with God, like, please just show up, do something. Do something. And all you know is that you just need God's help. So, what if? What if this is the year that God shows up for you? What if this is the moment? What if God is real? What if God really does love me? What if Jesus really did die for me? What if Jesus really can shape and alter my marriage? What if Jesus really can shake up some things in my life? What if this is the moment, your moment, that changes everything? What if this is your defining moment? See, God invites us into something different. So you think about our response oftentimes is fear, paralyzing fear. But the Lord actually invites us to respond differently. He removes our fear by promising to show up, promising to act. And our invitation is this. Can you go to the next slide there? In verses 6 and 7, he says, come and see the place where he laid. Come and see. And then later on, at the beginning of verse 7, it says, then go and tell. Go and tell. See, what if we're an expectant people, expecting God to act, we come and see, and then we go and tell people what God did? That's our invitation. We're not afraid because we fully expect God to act. We fully expect God to intervene. We fully expect him to do something. And when he does, just like my brother Matt, through fear and trembling and paralyzing fear, right, coming up here and sharing a piece of his story. Going and telling. See, and when we come and see, and then we go and tell, you know what happens after that? People believe and are baptized. Again, that's what we're experiencing here. Like, God is showing up. That's why being baptized is so important, because we're going to come over here in a minute and every single one of these people, they're going to declare through their actions that Jesus is so much better than what they've been living. Jesus is so much better than what they've been experiencing, that God entered into their world and intervened and said, I love you. I care about you. I want you to follow me. Screw being Christian stuff or whatever that means. I want you to follow me. I want you to be a part of me. I want you to be a part of a faith community. And now we're going to come and we're going to celebrate that. And then every single one of you is going to leave here being able to go and tell people what you saw. That's how this thing works. We don't have to beat people over the head with a Bible. All we do is we tell people what God has done. That's it. See, and this morning, as you're going to hear Jenna's story, which was actually supposed to come before the message. I think I started too early. So, sorry, Jeannie. So you're going to hear part of Jenna's story. Just a small part, and that you heard a small part of Matt's story. And from this day forward, you're going to be a part of their story. See, but their moment, their defining moment, along with Shelby and York and Mike, like their defining moment, the moment that we're moving into, the moment of baptism, is just that. It's a moment. See, and it's a moment that's grounded and made possible by the defining moment in all of history, which is the resurrection. And for those of you who've said yes to Jesus, those of you who have had your moment previous to this, you get to enter into, because your moment is also predicated upon Jesus' moment. And so now we all get to enter into together into their moment. See, because the best that I can tell is sometimes we experience these moments, and moments come and moments go. Moments are forgotten and moments are overlooked. And each one of us here, we fall into one of three categories. We fall into one, either you had a moment where you got baptized long ago and it's lost its luster, it's lost its power, it's lost its expectancy. You don't actually believe that God's going to do anything. Or two, you may find yourself in the midst of ignoring your moment. You know that something's happening. You know that God's calling to you, but you're saying no, you're rejecting it, you're ignoring it, you're fighting it. For whatever reason. And then this morning, we have five people in the midst of their moments, getting ready to declare to the world that they, in fact, have believed and are getting baptized. See, and it's this very moment that, just like Jesus, who came to the earth, who died for your sin and my sin so that we may experience life and life to the full, this is the very defining moment where we step out of a meaningless life and into a life full of purpose and expectancy and joy and love, and we get to experience what Jesus said in John 10:10 he came to give us, and that's the abundant life, or life to the full. And so as I've asked you every single week that this church has been in existence, are you experiencing life to the full? If not, let me plead with you. Enter into their moment with them. And as they are getting baptized, remember your defining moment. And ask the Spirit to reignite a fire within you as if you had been baptized this morning with them. And then if you're on the other side of that and you're like, no, I'm not living life to the full and I don't know why and I've never been baptized, let me press in upon you. And let me just ask, like, are you fighting it? Are you fighting your defining moment? And will you celebrate with me just this time where, as a result of Walker Harbor Church and the people who make up this church coming and seeing, going and telling, will you celebrate with me the fact that Jesus is working here? He's present. So I got a little ahead of myself, but here's the questions that I want you to wrestle with. For those of you who are baptized long ago, or those of you who need new life breathed into your moment, join in spirit with these individuals. Every baptism we experience is an opportunity for you to be rebaptized, remembering what it was like to be dead in your sin and now raised to new life in Christ. And for those of you who are rejecting or ignoring your defining moment, what I ask of you is that you listen quietly. See if you feel something you don't normally feel. See if you're drawn to something you're not normally drawn to. And don't fight it. Don't reject it, but welcome it. Ask the Lord, Lord, is this you? Is this you? And I guarantee you, and the promise I want to make to you if you're in that category, is that I am 100% available for you to answer any questions, any confusions. I want to walk this thing out. We as a faith community want to walk with you through this process. And then we're in the midst of planning baptisms in the fall. And so if that's you, I want you to write on your Connect card, I want to be a Jesus follower. Please have Pastor Aaron call me. And then turn that into Connecting Point. And then I promise you, I will call you and we will walk this thing out. Now, as we prepare for baptisms, and as you all wrestle with those questions, the worship team, you guys can come up. It's gonna lead us in a song that lifts up the name that makes all of this possible, the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for how you're acting, and I thank you for how you're moving. Father, I pray that as we celebrate baptisms, that each and every one, every single one of us would be able to join in spirit into their defining moment, into the defining moment in all of history. The very thing that we celebrate this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. It's in Christ's name that we pray, amen.